Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Here we are again today with a new word from the Lord. He is God. It's new. He is God. Today we are blessed, and we just know that God is using us. And I want to speak to the people out there that are listening to us and understand this. Jesus is on his way back. And I'm saying to those of you that love the Lord, get your house in order, because he's on his way back. It is up to you, because the Bible tells me that in the book it says these words. It says, "Behold, I come quickly, and I will have my reward with me." So if you're not looking up to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you. Let's have a prayer together. Father, tonight is the night that we just said thank you. And Father, here we are once again giving thanks to you for all that you have done for us throughout this day. You've shown us your kindness and your love. And Father, there are some we call on whose name we may not know, but every need, a desire, everyone is to be called upon, Father, because we call your name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Will you bless us? Will you keep us? Will you love us? Will you show us where we need to go? And Father, I want to thank you because you allowed us to hide in a secret place, in the place that you have set for us. We cannot falter. We cannot get upset. We cannot get angry. We must believe what you have done. He that dwells in a secret place of the Most High, we dwell where you dwell. Father, we love you because you are our shepherd. We thank you, Father. And I ask you tonight as we go to the radio, that somebody out there that needs a healing in the fivefold ministry can speak a word, and everything will be all right. Bless this young man you're going to bring on the name. Bless him in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, first, I want to say good evening, Dr. Hunter, and praise be to God for another day that not only God has given us, but that he's also helped us to almost complete today. And glory be to God for this another great day and opportunity today to further his kingdom today. And I want to say to those that are listening also, just grace and peace to you from God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ today. Grace and peace to you. I want to speak just very briefly today. I want to encourage us as believers and any other non-believers that may be listening to today. I want to offer a word of encouragement that the Lord has put on my heart today. You know, so much today is going on in our world, these being the last days. We have a lot of political unrest in our country. We have a lot of social unrest. We have a fiscal unrest with the financial state of our country. We have so much discord and trouble in our own households in terms of the family structure. We have so many things that we see going on around us, and I know for those of us that are working diligently in the kingdom and trying to further the gospel. Sometimes when what we can see on TV being reported, what we can hear on the radio being reported, it can be somewhat discouraging. And then we have things that go on in our personal lives. You know, that one thing we all discover as believers is that, you know, just because we get saved and we start working in the kingdom doesn't mean that God does not allow the adversary to test us. And it's always for the purposes of strengthening our faith, but it doesn't mean that those tests and those sometimes unfortunate things will happen to us, and we can be discouraged by those things. And so I want to offer, you know, a word of encouragement that God has given me. You know, I want to start, it's very interesting. I was watching football this past weekend, and there was a commercial that came on, and it was a orange juice commercial. And for those of you who may have never seen it, it was a setting where a woman had gotten up in the morning, and some people have their coffee, but she was having her orange juice. And this whole commercial was about the benefits of orange juice. And so they had this lady sitting at her breakfast table with her large cup of orange juice, And at this circle table, there were like three other people there that represented people that she would encounter during the day that would bring some level of misfortune in her day. And so the whole point of the commercial was that no matter how bad the news was, as long as she had her orange juice, everything was going to be all right. Like there was one lady that was sitting next to her, and she represented the loan office at a bank, and she looked at the lady. She said, "You know, today I'm going to deny that loan that you and your husband been waiting on for the house." And the lady with the orange juice looked at her and said, "Okay." And she said it with a little bit of a smile, and she sipped her orange juice and made it not quite the reaction that most of us would have to something like that, but she was like, "Okay." And then sitting right next to her was a guy that he looked like he had construction clothes on, like he was some sort of construction equipment operator. And he looked at the lady and he said, "Well, you know, my name is such and such, and, you know, I didn't get any sleep last night, so today I'm going to be very sleepy on the job, and I'm going to inadvertently, the forklift that I'm going to be operating, I'm going to inadvertently bash in your back window of your car that's parked in a legal spot downtown." And so the lady sipped her orange juice, and she said, "Great, great, good." And then the last one, as he was finishing his unfortunate news, there was another guy that came in, and he was a pest control guy. And he said, "Ma'am, I was downstairs, and, you know, I was doing the routine spraying for roaches for your house, and I discovered that there's a termite infestation in your basement." And she sipped the orange juice again, and she said, "Outstanding." And she just smiled at this whole thing, and then she looked at the camera and said, "Good thing I've had my orange juice today." And I just thought in a lot of ways that was hilarious. But, you know, it really brought a point home that as funny as that can be, you know, wouldn't it be great if we had an attitude like that woman when misfortune happened, that, you know, everything was okay and everything was great, and we just responded with, "That's outstanding." Wouldn't it be great if, like the commercial suggests, we could have some sort of juice beverage, and all of a sudden we have this approach to life that the glass is half full instead of half empty. And wouldn't it be great if we could just have some sort of drink or something like that that would give some sort of euphoric feeling, where in the midst of our struggles, we would automatically feel great. Now, now with that statement being made, I know some folks are listening and they're going, "Well, you know, hey, I got that that beverage that I drink that makes me feel real good. And at the end of that six pack, I'm feeling just fine." And so I know some people are thinking that. But what this really highlights as I think about this commercial is a lot of times, even though this commercial is more of an exaggeration of the benefits of orange juice, a lot of times that orange juice, that temporary thing, represents coping mechanisms we have in our lives to cope, to learn ways, the ways we picked up to handle and deal with unfortunate things that we have in our lives. And the problem a lot of times with coping mechanisms, or that six-pack of beer, or someone has other things that they do to cope with life's troubles, while we may have this sense of euphoria, this sense of relief for a period of time, when we come out of that euphoria, the problem still remains. And so, you know, there are a lot of coping mechanisms. Some people have alcohol. Some people have drugs. Some people just, I work with people that their whole life is sports. They got problems going on in their lives, but they dive into sports, and that's how they cope with what's going on in their homes. Some people, it's pornography. Other folks, it could be an unhealthy dependency on a person or person in their lives. They just dive themselves into that. And in some cases, some people, it's just denial. They just don't want to accept that there are things going on, so they just act like it's not there. I mean, and to bring it even closer home, be there are people in our church where, you know, the approach that they tend to take is that they just want to put on the face that everything is going well, and they just say that God is blessing, everything is going well, but they will not acknowledge that there is a problem. And while God calls us to rejoice during our problems, he does not call us to deny that they exist. And And so with that being said, COVID mechanisms, again, only provided temporary relief, if you want to call it relief, to a larger problem. And what we get when we embrace COVID mechanisms, what we get in the long term is can be a very destructive path for our lives. But the good news, especially for the believer, is while coping mechanisms are strategies we use in our lives to mask anxieties that storms in our life bring, we serve a God that is not interested in a coping mechanism, but he's interested in us overcoming and conquering those things that are going on in our lives to help us overcome, a lot of the things that are going on in our lives. So the question becomes, what is it about God that helps us maintain a positive and heavenly minded focus during our daily troubles? Because it's not always big problems that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the little things that can go on in a day that just really sidetrack us in a day or have us in the wrong spirit. And so I want to cover primarily two areas that I really believe that will encourage us and it will help us if we really pray and meditate on these things, will help us through overcoming those troubles, those things that really weigh on our minds, and that we don't start embracing coping mechanisms, but we embrace the solution to those everyday problems, and as Jesus Christ. You know, I think that one of the point areas I want to talk about God's greatness. Sometimes we need to be reminded of how great God is, and that he is greater than any mountain in our life, any mountain of affliction, any mountain of trouble in our life. And then the second area I want to touch on is God's purpose and his desired result for our life. And see, when we start to, when we get reminded, because a lot of times we know, we get a good idea of what God has purposed for us in life. It's not that we don't always know, but sometimes we have to be reminded of his greatness and his purpose in our life. And then when we understand his purpose, our purpose that he has for us, then we can start to get a vision for the results that God wants in our life. If we go to Scripture, in 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 11, if we go there, it says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." I just love this verse because there's so many areas in the Bible that God is just shown as exalted, and it reminds us of how great he is and how no matter what we're going through in our life, how he's in control. But this is a reminder here that we have to remember that no matter what, when we're in those moments and we're having these troubles and we're having these things going on in our lives, first we need to be reminded how great God is and how powerful he is in our lives. You know, we need to be reminded of that the Lord is great and he has all power and glory and he's majestic and he created everything. If we go back to the beginning, to Genesis, how he created everything in this world. And if he created everything, you know, that last sentence in the scripture says, yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. He's in control. He is everything we are and have. Everything we are and we have belongs to him and is under his authority. And that means everything. Everything we have in our houses, all our money, you know, even though we tithe a portion of our pay to the ministries and to his storehouse, all your money you have, it belongs to him. All your resources belongs to him. Everything we are and everything that God has leads to belongs to him. So if he's in control, then it also means that any storm that is in our life, he is also allowed to come in, which means there's a purpose for it. And what I've learned, as many of our men and women of God that are out serving God today and also the saints that have gone on have learned that through a lot of these storms, that the purpose of them is to draw us closer to him. But when we start to embrace coping mechanisms, that leads us away from him. And so I want to encourage us to be reminded that he is great. He is in control, and there is nothing happening in our lives that he has, that he is not, that does not, not only does he in control, but he has also allowed them for a purpose, and that purpose is to lead us to be closer to him. And when we're closer to him, that leads us closer to life in him. A lot of times, as we go through these things that we go through, we can tend to ask the question, you know, we still ask the question, you know, why are these unfortunate things happening to me? You know, even as believers, we can appreciate the fact that God is doing this to increase our faith, but he doesn't always tell us why these things are happening to us, why a check we thought was going to come in didn't make it in, why all of a sudden a car that God blessed us with decided not to work today, or why we got bad news about one of our children at school, or why there's, you know, we went to the doctor and there was a report that that discouraged us about our health. There could be a multitude of things that could have happened during the day, and we seem to be, the Lord is allowing these things to go on. The question comes, well, I understand, Lord, that you're bringing me and you're testing my faith, but why is this happening? Well, there could be for a couple of reasons. Sometimes some of the hardships and some of the tests that God puts us through is because of bad decisions that we make. It's a consequences for sin. Sometimes it's because of sin, some things, the decisions we've made, things we've embraced, the Holy Spirit tried to tell us not to do. We went down that path, and when the time came, God allowed for some tests to come in to get our attention, to draw us back to him. So sometimes it's a consequence to just, you know, unfavorable decisions that has led us to sin to God. Sometimes it has absolutely nothing to do with sin at all, nothing to do with sin at all. It is, again, but it becomes almost the same purpose that God has, that he's used the situation to draw us closer to him. And sometimes we always should rejoice when he tests us sometimes, because if God is allowed, you know, if it's not a result of sin and God has allowed a test to come to us, it is also because that he has great faith in us that we can overcome and that we will succeed in passing that test that he brings in front of us. But no matter what the issue is, sometimes, again, at the end of the day, we may not get an answer. As hard as we pray, as fervently as we pray about God trying to get understanding of why we're going through certain things, even with us acknowledging how great he is, sometimes we don't get the understanding. And so, and when we don't get that understanding at times, that's the things, those times it can lead us in moments of discouragement. But again, I say we have to remember two things, that we always have to remind ourselves of how great he is and how much he loves us. You know, how much God just loves us. You know, and how mindful, I mean, a God that's mindful of us is what Scripture says. We always also have to remember is that what it says in Isaiah 55, you go to chapter 55, verse 8 through 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord." Verse 9 says, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And see, I believe that when we start to really remember that and we start to let God speak that back into the Holy Spirit reminds us of this, I believe that when we embrace that, then we get peace in the midst of our storm. Because we realize a lot's in our control, and we always get to a point where we start to say to God, you know what, I really don't have to fully understand. I'm just going to trust you because I know that there's a greater plan. I know that there's a purpose for you putting me in this in my life. So I just ask, Lord, for the courage and the strength to go through this storm that I'm going through, or this is unfortunate, because I know good is going to happen through this. And see, when we're heavenly minded and we get reminded, or we be reminded to be heavenly minded in all our situations, then God can lead us to make that very statement, because we begin to remember that he has a purpose in all things he does, because God is sovereign. He is sovereign, and he has control over everything. And the second thing we have to remember, even when we have that thought, is, and something I've even learned in my walk, is sometimes we have to remember is that God is more concerned about his purpose in being carried out in our lives than the comforts of our lifestyle. And see, that's a hard word sometimes for us to embrace, you know, because we want to be comfortable. You know, we pray and we work and we labor and we work hard to not only get fulfillment from our life, but also to have a few comforts. There's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of times when God comes along, he stirs things up and things happen in our life. It's because you've seen it time and time again, men and women of God, that God has approached and came along. He was more concerned about his purpose being fulfilled than their level of comfort. And we saw that time and time again with Abraham. When God asked him to pack up everything and leave everybody behind, can you imagine God coming to tell you to leave your home and just, you know, pack up everything and leave, all your family behind? Amen.
Yes.
You know, we saw that with Moses. Moses was not out looking for his harvest and breakthrough and season. He was not looking for that. He was out working a job. He was out taking care of his family. He was out with his cattle and all his stuff, and God approached him and asked him to go do something that he did not initially want to do because he didn't think he was qualified. Again, God was more focused on his purpose than his level of comfort. And this was going to cause Moses to go through some storms, and which is well documented in his word. And we can go on and on to Gideon, Ruth, Esther. We can go all the way on in, even to the disciples, all the way to the end. Then you go to the new church, to the book of Acts, and you saw what the first church went through and the apostles went through. Well, most of the times when God tested them in faith, it was definitely not in their comfort zone, but he called them out of their comfort zone because his purpose is more important, and they went through those search storms. So, again, it's not always because we've done something. It's because God wants to draw us closer to him, and in order to draw closer to him, we go through storms. But in those storms, we experience them in a way, if we embrace a heavenly focus, we can experience them in a way that we never would experience them, being comfortable in our household. So we need to remember that God is great, and that what he is doing is his understanding is higher than our understanding. His ways are higher than our ways. And when we embrace that, there will be peace for us in our lives. We also have to understand, we talked about his greatness, we talked a little bit about his purpose, but we have to remember that God has a purpose because there's an end result that he's looking for in every situation in our lives. And the beauty of God is that he didn't just make up the purpose for you today. He didn't just say, you know what, today this is what I'm going to decide to do with Dr. Hunter. He had formed in his mind before you were born what he wanted to do with your life. And if you go to Scripture, if you go to Jeremiah 1 and 5, very popular Scripture, when he tells Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And see, God has already made up in his mind and set in us before we're born, before we were even formed in the womb. He already knows what his purpose in our life. And his goodwill and his good ways, his intention is to see that carried out. But sometimes it gets cut short because our own will gets in the way sometimes. And because sometimes we lose a heavenly focus and being heavenly minded, and we start to focus too much on the things we see immediately in our lives, sometimes we tend to walk away from him, and what he wants to do in our lives is hindered, or in some people's lives is never realized. And so we have to remember that not only is God great, but he is so great that he's already made up in his own mind what he wants to do with us before we were in the womb. And what he spends a lot of our lives trying to do is trying to work his purpose out in our lives. And doing that journey with him, that will include seasons of rest and plenty, but that will also include seasons of challenge and lacking. And in all of it, he works not only to work his purpose, to be within his perfect will, but it is to keep us in line with what he has for us, for a purpose that he has established before we were born. And so when we go through these storms and these mishaps, or, you know, the cars broke down, or, you know, we didn't get a check we were supposed to get, or we got some bad news at the doctor, or ministry that we were working in didn't quite work out the way we thought it was going to work out, we have to remember that even during those storms, even during those things that God is doing, there's a purpose. That, number one, he's great, he's in control. He knows all things. He knows exactly what he's doing, and that he has a purpose that he wants to realize in our life. So, again, we have to remember that God is great. He's in control. And we also have to remember, like Job in the Bible, we have to remember in the story of Job, it wasn't because he sinned. The Bible clearly says, and God said that, called him a righteous man. It didn't say, it means perfect, but he called him a righteous man. And what he did was he allowed the enemy. So we have to remember is that everything that the enemy does to us is God-filtered. God-filtered. In other words, he has to have permission. And not only does he have to have permission to test us, but he has to also follow instruction. See, God didn't just tell Satan, well, just go and do what you want to do. And God said, okay, I'm going to let you do this, but you can only do A and B, but don't touch C and D. You see what I'm saying? And so God is going to give him clear instructions on what he can test and what he cannot test in our lives. And we have to remember that Job went through the same things. And again, but through that experience, Job grew closer to God for his life. And so we just need to remember those things and be encouraged that God is great. He has control of everything, and he has his purpose. And I'll close this short message in the scripture, and I believe Paul puts it best. If you go to the book of Romans, chapter 8:28, Paul says, he says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, as believers, we have to remember when it says in all things that God works for the good, it says for those who love him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. Those who love him. You see what I'm saying? And so we have to remember. And he works for the good for those who love him and those who have been called according to his purpose. And the purpose that he's speaking of is a purpose that God has already created, that already had made up in his mind before we were put in the womb, that he has set us apart for. And I just pray, and I want to close this short segment in a short prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are mindful of us, that you are a God that mindful of us, Lord. As it says in your word, you are God that cares deeply and that you love us in spite of ourselves, that you love us, that you think so deeply of us, that you have created in your mind a purpose for our lives before we were even born, before we even a thought to our parents. You had determined in your mind already what you called us to do. And I just pray that, Father, that in those moments that you continue to encourage us, that you continue to remind us of this purpose, and that you are in control. No matter what the enemy may tell us, that things are falling apart, that we know and we can be assured that you are in control and that you love us and that we have nothing to fear. And I just pray, Father, in those moments that not only that we're encouraged and that you remind us, Lord, but that I pray that you fill us with your love. Fill us with your love. Because your word tells us, Lord, your word tells us, Lord, that we have nothing to fear and that that perfect love drives out fear.
Yeah.
And that there be no fear about what's in front of us and what's going on and that you are in control. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, and we honor and we glorify you. And we pray these things and these many things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the living God. You have heard a young man that God has brought him to a position in his life, and I'm thankful to God. And right now, I'm going to say amen, 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 amen. And,
amen.
The line's open now. Anybody got any questions, any statements they'd like to make?
Woo! God bless Dr. Hunter, Jason, and everybody else that's listening in. God bless you. I like how Jason started off with the commercial. You know, this woman... She's drinking her orange juice, and no matter what situation, you know, it appeared, she says, fine, it's fine. And, you know, and that took me to the word of God in the book of John, chapter 4, when Jesus was at the well with the, Jesus, this is good, with the woman, and he told her, you know, if you take up this water, you'll never thirst again. And so I
amen.
Just thank God. Yes, amen. And you talked about his goodness, and you talked about how good he is. And, you know, the word tells us to taste and see that God is good. And all throughout the word, you know, we find our reassurance. And I want to go in the book of Romans 2, because I was going to go Romans actually 8 and 29. You know, you already said it, you know, out of Jeremiah. You know, he predestined, he pre-known us before we was even, before the foundation of this world. So, and even before we was in our mother's womb. But, you know, chapter 5 says that being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord of Jesus Christ, by whom we also access by the faith into grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of joy of God. And not only
Amen.
So, but we glorify tribulations. And I heard you say that. You know, if we could just, even, you know, when we're going through things, if we could just rejoice, no matter what, you know, in Corinthians, you know, Apostle Paul, I know Philippians, it says, you know, give thanks in all things. And Apostle Paul said over in Philippians also, is that he learned how to be content no matter what the situation is. And because he knew where his hope came from. He knew where his joy, he knew where his stability. And that's what we got to get the people. We got to get the people connected. We got to get the people connected to the vine and keep them connected to the vine and let them know, oh, no matter what they go through, their hope is in Christ Jesus. Because Christ, it even said, you know, even the things that we suffer, rejoice, because he says after we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. But not only do we reign with him, it tells us in Peter that he do what? He's going to settle us. He's going to save us. He's going to strengthen us. I rest us in Christ Jesus, you know, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I love to say this, and I know a lot of people that have heard me minister, they know I love to say this right here. You know, chapter 11 of Hebrews, you know, it tells us about this. Now, faith is a now substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. But listen, when you go to chapter 12, and it tells you that Jesus is what? Is the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy was set before the endurance the cross. So that right there, verse 11, tells us even though we ain't seen Jesus, and verse 12 proves it, that go our faith right there. He's a finisher. He's an author. We might not seen Jesus. We didn't get a chance to walk the earth with him. But we know that he's the author and the finish of our faith. So there go my hope right there. My substance, my evidence, everything is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Everything. And that's why it says now faith. It didn't say yesterday faith, tomorrow's faith. It says now faith. Jesus came on the scene now. Didn't the word tell us that I'm your help, I'm your refuge in present times of trouble? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Right now.
Amen.
It's according to our faith. It's according to our belief. And that's why we got to get people, you know, let's say I got the faith as a mustard seed. I got that faith. But baby, come here, let me teach you how to plant that seed. Because, see, that seed got to go on the ground so it can grow up and be the biggest herb tree in the field. You can't keep holding on to no. It's time. That's what God is saying, even throughout this message. You know, through the trials and tribulations, even you don't have to stand for God to carry you through tests. It's to draw you closer and to elevate you. What the word tells us, deep calls unto deep. God is calling us deeper. When Jesus went out there and he was teaching the disciples how to fish, he said, y'all not catching nothing because you're on shallow water. But I need you to come here. Come in, let me show
Amen.
You. Come in, let's go out there a little farther, and we're going to cast those nets out into the deep. They had so much fish that the boats that they had out there wasn't even enough to hold all what they caught. But we don't want to step off the shallow water. We don't want to plant that seed. But it's time to plant that seed. We gotta plant that seed. In order for something to live, it must first gotta die.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus did. He died on that cross that we may have life and have an eternal life and abundant life with him. When he
Amen. You know, one of the things that I would say that Jason pointed out tonight that really quickened my spirit more was to hear purpose. God has a purpose. Do we know what God has purpose for? It causes me to research constantly. Purpose. Not what I think, how I feel, but his purpose is my purpose. Because if his purpose is my purpose, God's purpose, I already said when Jason was speaking, Minister Jason was speaking. I thank God for him tonight. And so I keep him up prayer, and the line is still open. Has somebody else got something they want to say? Hallelujah. Amen.
You're talking about purpose. It tells us over in Psalms chapter 37, if we delight ourselves, we talked about a little bit about this last week. If we delight ourselves in him, he's going to give us our heart desires. But once you start to taste and see and you delight in yourself in God, you want to do what's pleasing to God. And that's when your purpose changes. It's no longer your purpose and your will. It's what can I do to please the Father?
That's where we go back over in
Matthew, when Jesus told us, if anybody want to be a disciple, they must first what? They must first deny themselves, pick up their cross, deny themselves, and fall after me. So it's no longer, we don't have a purpose. We got to say, God, what is your will? What is your plan?
Amen.
And that's what God is trying to get us to. He's trying to get us to look. Look here, y'all, listen here. I sent my son. I showed y'all an example how you're supposed to walk this thing out. And my son even said over in Matthew, he said, I came to serve. And that's our purpose. Our purpose is to come to serve, to bring somebody else into God's kingdom and continue to let this kingdom grow. You know, we are the ones to give somebody else that hope. We are the ones to give somebody else that reassurance. The only Jesus that a lot of people going to ever see is the Jesus in you and me and everybody else is on his line. We no Amen. Longer have no identity. We no longer have no purpose. We were in the beginning. We were made in his image and his likeness. So we got to be transformed. We got to be renewed, and we got to take on a mindset of Christ Jesus. That's the purpose. Everybody got a ministry. Everybody. You ain't got to be part of the fivefold. You don't have to be no apostle. You don't have to be no prophet, no evangelist, no teacher, no preacher. But everybody got a ministry. I can minister to women, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, and so forth and so on. I can minister to single women. You know, I can minister to single mothers. You know,
Amen.
So that's the purpose. That's the purpose. Amen. Are we doing what's pleasing to God? Are we doing the Father's will? You know what, Dr. Hunter? Me and you talked about this yesterday. I said, Dr. Hunter, if I can't be effective in winning souls to God, what good am I? What good am I? What good are we if we can't be effective in winning these souls to God? Giving them that hope.
Amen.
That's our purpose. Is to give somebody else some hope and give them a chance that they can live.
Amen.
Word.
You know, I like to...
Once again, Jason, you always ignite my fire, I tell you.
You know, it's so great you made the point.
God. Well, you know,
it's so great to be.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know,
amen.
I know somebody else on this line has an input, and I am just excited to hear what you got to tell us that God has placed in your heart. Amen. Are you there? Hello. Well, I will say it like
this. Lord. Praise the Lord once
yes.
more tonight. I thank God for the word. We thank God for minister of God that gave a great word. And that's what he's trying to tell us to while we're in our tribulations and our trying time, we have to rejoice. I even thank
Amen.
God for the commercial that he was talking about. I haven't seen that one yet, but I there is another commercial that really makes me think about the Lord. The camel just comes in and he calling, "It's hump day, it's hump day." You know what day it is? Hump day. And we're like, and if we people only understand what we have to find joy in and find what the message in what the enemy sometimes tries to disguise things. But God reveals things if we're looking for God in the things of the world. There's things of the world that will keep us in line. So when the camel came out, it wasn't the people was rejoicing, it was the animal was rejoicing. And if you notice, there wasn't another animal there. It was all human beings. And he was saying, "Hey, you know what day this is? Do you know what day this is?" And we can even use that as a spiritual wake-up call for ourselves. It's hump day. Some days we're on the top of the hump, and some days we're down and sitting in between those two humps, and then one day we rise up, and one day we go down. But he said, in all things, we still got to give him thanks and praise. And people say that camel saves those humps to carry water. How many days does that camel go off of those humps? And God was showing me, well, you know, we have to find the joy in it and to rejoice in everything. And the prophet was talking about how the seed has to die, which is why can't our flesh die? So the spirit of Lord that's in us can come out and do what God is trying to tell us to do. So I just get excited for what God is doing and how he's lining up his people when they have trials. Right now it is trying time for some. Some people are on a mountaintop. Some people are receiving. Some people haven't even planted their harvest yet, and winter is coming. And different things is happening in the world. But God is trying to show us that in all things, God is not a God that he shall lie, because he has to fulfill what he said he's going to fulfill for his people. But all the enemy wants us to do, he wants us to forfeit. When a little trial comes, we jump out. When the storm comes, we jump out of the boat. Instead of we stay in the boat, we jump out and we want to go do our thing and then come back and think we're still okay with the Lord, haven't repented, haven't even picked up and walk through the will of God. And God is calling us to his perfect will. He permissioned us. It's a permission will some of us are in, but God is calling us to a perfect will where we will walk with him and we'll know him. We'll even start talking what God's talking and feel what God feels. And there, you know, we have to do what Jesus felt. And what God is trying to tell us is it's time for the body of Christ to move into another place
yeah.
of no matter what comes. I heard the man of God say, it's like no matter what comes, the woman said, if I only had my old Jesus. You said OJ, and I was like, oh, Jesus.
Amen.
You know, Jesus. And he's trying to say, what can you do wrong when you have your old Jesus? You know, and God has been showing, God, I thank the Lord for the sense of humor that you brought on the prayer, you know, on the line tonight, because somebody needs a sense of humor tonight. Somebody needs to go back and reevaluate what they're going through and rejoice in it anyhow. What can the enemy do? God can what that God hasn't allowed in our lives, you know, and that's what God is trying. I heard so many messages in everything you were saying. And the prophet came in, and then I heard Dr. Hunter come in, and he said, remember the purpose. Remember, it's all for my purpose. And each one of us were really, what he's doing is making a whole message. If we go back and revisit what our each spirit man is saying. Each spirit man is one saying rejoice. The other one said plant the seed. The other one says move in his joy. The other one said move in my purpose. And I was here and I said, oh, God, if they only know. And then the finality was you kept saying, OJ, without old Jesus, how can we be Asha? How can we be ourselves? There's nothing. And a tree that's planted by the river. Well, a tree that's planted, you know, he was talking about how the tree that was planted, it shall not be moved. It shall not be moved. I can't see a half a seed going in the ground and make become a whole seed. It has to be a whole seed. People thinking they can give God half a seed and put it in the ground and keep the rest. You know how we used to hold back on our stash. We give somebody half of it and hold the rest. He said, I want the whole thing. I want all of what you got, and let me give you what I have. It's an exchange. It's an exchange in the storms of life. We have to exchange ourselves. We have to give God the blood atonement. There's also, we have to give him. Something has to be shed. Something has to be shedded like his son. And I thank God for tonight. And that's all I got. I just thank God for hearing it tonight, because many, many are crying out and they need to hear the word of God. Many are crying out and say, where am I? And if they'll only stop, you know, and stop and hear what the spirits are saying to each other. And prophet said it. Each one of us has a message for each other. But what's wrong with the body of Christ? We won't come together and rejoice. You see, everybody else was coming with the woman. They were coming negative. Nobody gave her a positive. You can use the whole commercial as a sermon. You know, everybody came with non-positive stuff. And she kept on saying, oh, no, I got my OJ. I got my OG. What? Oh, you're gone. Amen. You're gone. And then this camel comes in, and the camel says, hey, do y'all remember what day this is? And all the people are looking. Oh, it's hump day. Oh, God, it's thank the Lord for his way, God. I just thank God for his service. And, you know, we have to make it joyful. We can't. God didn't put us down here to be sad and sorrowful, calling each other, going, girl, you guess what? You know, we have to say, hey, regardless of what I'm going through, it's going to be all right. And then sometimes you can tell it like it is. For an instant there, I have to testify. An instant there, the enemy said, well, why don't you have a cigarette? I'm like, but good Lord, without my OJ, I can't do nothing.
Come on,
man. So I got to remind the enemy when he comes in like a flood, because he came right into service and he just dropped it in my head. I look, you know, like, why don't you have a cigarette? And I'm saying, oh, no, you don't. So we have to rebuke and we have to tell people the truth of it, that we are not exempt. Nobody is exempt from being tested and tempted. And nobody has arrived yet that they call and say, oh, guess what? It's all, everything is good. We still have to rejoice. Still have to rejoice. And thank the Lord for that message tonight. We just have to rejoice regardless of whatever we go through. Amen.
Amen.
Shut up.
Amen. 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 Well, is there anybody else out there listening, want to say something? Because just believe God is here. Hallelujah.
Yeah, God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, yes. Dr. Hunter. I was sitting and listening to, I'm not sure, I came in at the end, I guess the mid towards the end of the other minister's message, but as I continued to sit and I listened to everyone's comments, there's a cost to live the life of Christ, because as he says, if you want to come after me, let everyone take up his cross. There's a cross. There's a cost to fulfill your purpose. There's a cost to fulfill the plan. And sometimes our situations and challenges, I guess you would say, in life can sometimes seem bigger than what they are, because that's how the enemy presents them to us. But I was thinking that back over in Corinthians, one of the scriptures that always inspire me when I'm going through different issues is that we're pressed on every side, and there's trouble on every hand. And although we're pressed, we might feel knocked down, we might feel perplexed, we might feel crushed, but we're never destroyed because we are in Him. And the treasure that is stored up in us is greater than all things that we could ever have to challenge or have to face. And then when we think over in the garden, I mean, the challenge is not good. It's not easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus. You know, He said, if Amen. I can trade places, let me trade. But it's Your will, let Your will be done. So yes. That helps
Amen.
Me and I rejoice because I may, you know, I think Peter says, think it not strange. So don't think these things that are coming to you are going to be anything different or they're overcoming or overwhelming, because they are going to come. Because you have to realize in this body, it's always going to be a cost. We're always dying daily to our habits, to our attitudes, to our behaviors, yes. to how we see other people in the lens that we see them in. So we're constantly on a daily basis dying out to this flesh, and we will be until we are changed into our glorified bodies. So to say, you know, we have to rejoice sometimes, to be honest, it's not easy, because I asked just today, Lord, where is my joy? You know,
Jeez.
Because you just get so bound down. And, you know, we have to be careful that we don't carry the facade to where we even fool ourselves. You know, we are one way out in the open, but then at the end of the day, you know, it's something totally different when we're behind the closed door.
It's
so I think it's one of the things coming into acceptance and knowing, okay, I'm going to go through this. You know, God, You're going to have to lead, You're going to have to guide me, because it is part of my purpose. It is part of my plan for something greater or for someone else.
Yes.
You know, so it's the only thing I have to add.
Well,
Amen.
You know what, one of the things I want to say to the young lady just spoke, she's going to be one of the speakers. She's already decided to be on KSK Radio. And Lynn, as God has blessed us with the office of a prophetess, and it's Iran, it's somewhat, tonight I'll say this, we got prophetess, minister, apostle on television. And God is moving in these latter days. And in these latter days, He's saying to us, and I like the way that Rose said it about that camel. Hump day, what day is it? Hump day. We need to know every day is hump day.
Yeah.
Stay close to the Lord. And I like the way all of us on the line have said it. There are many more listeners. Some people just won't, but I want to thank y'all, and I love you so much. Y'all don't know how you strengthened me in my set, but it was asked of me because I've had a stroke 3 years ago. Somebody asked me, are you going to blame God? No, I'm not going to blame God. Why? I am the one that caused the problem because of my disobedience.
Yes.
When you are disobedient, you strip yourself of everything that God has for you. And you know what it's teaching me? To humble myself, to submit to God, to believe more in what God is saying, and see Him. You know, I may sound like I'm a crazy man, but that's all right. I'm crazy anyway for the Lord. When I see in my bed at night while I'm in my room praying and thanking God, I see light that's in the room. And I know it has to be nobody but the angels are keeping a watch over me. Because when I love this scripture in Psalm 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, that means I am confined to the presence of God. And, you know, tonight has been a great night. I thank the Lord for all of y'all. And anybody got any words you want to say?
Dr. Hannah, I have to say this to you before you in this line, because I keep hearing you say, you know, about your testimony about you having a stroke, and it was an important man laying at the pool, and Jesus came to him. You know, he had been laying there for 38 years in that infirmity, and Jesus came to him and he said, How long this time, in this case, he said unto them, but thou be made whole. So my question is to you tonight, will you be made whole?
Yes.
Okay, amen. And I say to you then, rise, take up your bed, and walk.
That's right. Rise, take up your bed and walk.
I have to tell you what the word of God, what God has given me to tell you.
Amen.
Tonight be made whole and rise and take up your bed and walk.
And immediately,
see, God has forgiven you for your sin. We like to bring old things up. Your past is gone. It's in the sea of forgiveness. Now it's time for you to rise and take up your bed and walk and be made whole.
Mm-hmm. I just remind that the Apostle Paul said, I once was, but I'm no more. That man don't live anymore. That man, the new man lives here, is a son of God. He is a son of God. That old man don't live here no more. No, I don't know him. I don't know him. I know what, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Anybody else got something they want to say tonight? Because October 1st, we're going to have it more structured with people who are going to who have made commitments to be on a KSK radio station, and they're going to have their time to do it. It'll be the program they'll be doing, but I'm grateful to God that God has dropped it into my craw, in my spirit, to do what I'm doing, and I thank God for the fullness that God is doing. And I want to let you know, this is the night that we will continue. To all of us tonight, you pray for me, I pray for you. We pray for those that don't have what we have, who have more than we have. Somebody out there needs us. Somebody loves us. And God so loved us. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Jason, God bless you.
Yes. You too. Yeah, bless you all as well.
Amen. Prophet Steele, God bless you. Prophet Rose, God bless you. Prophetess Lynn Bargain, God bless you. Until such time, I will see and hear you tomorrow. May God bless you and keep you. Shalom, shalom.
Yes, peace.
Amen. God bless.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen.